Before looking at today's case, number 158 in Dogen's 300 Koan book, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about Yuen Min. His lineage was one of the five families of Zen, and over time, it, along with two of the others, melded into the Lin Chi or Rinzai line. Yuen Min was born in 864 of our common era and lived for 85 years. He was from the south of China and initially entered monastic life under a Vinaya, a precept master. After some years, Yuen Min felt he could no longer go any further in that school and took to the road. He eventually studied with the abrupt, taciturn old Mu-shou, Bokushu in Japanese, who some years before had retired to a hermitage, seeing very few practitioners. Yuen Min, however, persisted and stayed with Mu-shou for some time. He had a realization experience at the conclusion of one of their interactions, and in time, it isn't clear in the records for how long, Mu-shou advised him to practice with Shui Feng, or Seppo in Japanese. So he traveled and found Shui Feng, and he stayed with him for a number of years. Again, the records aren't precise on how long. And then Yuen Min took to the road for another, probably about 10 years, meeting with other sanghas and teachers before settling down to teach in one place. After a few years, however, in that one place, Yuen Min felt that the site was too busy and noisy, and so he and his students moved to a more remote region and built a center at the foot of Mount Yuen Min, in English, Mountain of Gate of Clouds. He stayed there and taught for the rest of his life, some 20 years. One day, in his 86th year, the old Yuen Min suddenly had no appetite and could no longer sleep. When his attendant offered him a hot medicinal broth, Yuen Min handed the bowl back and said, "First, I am fine. Second, you are fine." He then wrote a document with his admonitions for posterity, which said, "After my death, I permit neither the wearing of mourning clothes in conformity with worldly custom, nor wailing and holding a ceremony with a funeral carriage. This would be a violation," he said, "of the Buddhist precepts and a source of trouble for the Zen school." He then transmitted the Dharma to Shixuan, his Dharma heir. And lastly, he said, "Going and coming is continuous. I must be on my way." He then folded his legs in the Zazen posture and died. If you'd like to read more about Yuen Min, take a look at Urs Apps, The Record of Yuen Min, published in 1994, or simply continue your study and work in the Gateless Gate, the Blue Cliff Record, and the Book of Equanimity, where he appears more than any other teacher. He also shows up frequently in Dogen's 300 koan collection, in his extensive record, and also in the Shobo Genzo. Today's case, number 158 in Dogen's 300, also appears in the Book of Equanimity and in the Blue Cliff Records. And it reads like this. A monk asked Yunmen, "What is dust mote samadhi?" Yunmen said, "Rice in the bowl, water in the bucket." "So what is dust mote samadhi?" Yunmen said, "Rice in the bowl, water in the bucket." The monk's question comes from the Avatamsaka Sutra, which says, "Entering dust mote samadhi, a bodhisattva reaches the samadhi of all dust, yet the mote does not enlarge. And in that one mote, inconceivable worlds are realized. So entering dust mote samadhi, a bodhisattva reaches the samadhi of all dust, yet the mote does not enlarge. And in that one mote, inconceivable worlds are realized." And this monk is asking, so what is dust mote samadhi? And I suppose the first question here before coming to Yunmen's response is, what is samadhi? The earliest definition of samadhi is concentration. And concentration is the ability to maintain a one-pointedness of mind. This definition, however, isn't enough. The concentration needs to be correct or right. The eighth factor of the eightfold path. So samadhi is right or correct concentration. And it is up to a point correct if it leads to absorption, if it leads to forgetting self, other, and activity. But samadhi is not the be-all and end-all of Zen. High-level athletes, musicians, and artists all have developed single-minded focus, as have Navy pilots, surgeons, and nighttime truckers, hopefully. Complete and utter absorption is important, but it is not essential. Well, it is not the essential. It wasn't enough for Shakyamuni Buddha to see the Venus star. It wasn't enough for Yunmen to have the hermitage door slammed in his face. And it wasn't enough for Mahakashapa to see the twisting flower. Zhang Shua said, "You who sit on the top of the 100-foot pole, although you have entered the way, it is not yet genuine. Take a step from the top of the pole and show your body in the 10 directions. And this showing your body, is the entire world set out in array as yourself, and yourself as the entire world. I once talked to someone who described the many session he sat as beautiful, filled with hour after hour of samadhi. But as we talked, I realized when sitting, he didn't hear the dripping of rain. He didn't smell the fragrance of evergreen daphne. And he didn't taste the salt coming from the Salish Sea surf outside the door. To be concentrated like that, blocking out all sounds, tastes, thoughts, and feelings, is the way of some traditions, but it is not our way. Our way is not to become densely narrowed in unconscious sinking. That is closer to empty numbness than to ripening zazen. Zazen, correct samadhi. Correct samadhi ultimately is unity with the entire universe. When you allow yourself to melt into and be melted into, when you allow yourself to melt into mu, into who hears, into counting when doing zazen, when you allow yourself to be absorbed into sweeping, cleaning, or walking when engaged in those activities, that is correct or right samadhi, ripe for forgetting yourself and arraying throughout the world as each thing. So how does one melt into? Dogen called just zazen the samadhi of samadhis. He wrote, for zazen, a quiet room is recommended, while food and drink should be taken in moderation. When you sit, take three deep, full breaths and bring to rest the 10,000 things. Next, think of neither good nor evil, and judge not right or wrong. Let go of desire, concepts, and judgments. One then should sit upright with clothes and belt worn loosely. The two thumbs are placed in juxtaposition, with your hands rested on top of each other in your lap. And incidentally, this hand position is called Ocean Mudra Samadhi. The hands and mind sealed in the great depths and quiet of the ocean. Keep the body upright, not leaning left or right, back or forward. If and when thoughts and feelings arise, know that, not note them. If and when thoughts and feelings arise, know that and let them go. When you forget all attachments steadfastly, you will be Zazen itself naturally. And this is samadhi, a timeless, calm, potent, vast condition, but still just a condition. But it is in that condition that when looking up, Shakyamuni Buddha saw for the very first time the Venus star. And after breaking through that condition of samadhi and seeing the Venus star and being seen by the Venus star, he said, "Now, when I view all beings everywhere, I see that each of them possesses the wisdom and virtue of the awakened heart mind. And each only need to now do that and realize it for themselves." So here might be another way to think and to imagine about this thing called samadhi. There was a farmer who planted an orchard of apple, pear, and plum trees. He put them in the ground correctly with the right aspect and good fertile grounds. He watered and mulched them as needed and left the rest to the sun, rain, wind, snow, and nighttime shadows. He knew, too, they were tended by birds, squirrels, and such. And he trusted that the conditions for those species of fruit was favorable. Each day in late summer and early fall, he walked to the orchard and saw the trees were fruiting, each in its own unique way. He continued to do the little things he needed to do, simply minor adjustments. And mostly, he just trusted that in their time, in each one's individual unique position, they would mature and drop fruit. He couldn't say exactly how or when, but he had faith, came daily, was patient, and paid attention. The trees each would do exactly what was inevitable and natural. Here, the farmer, by being fully attuned to the trees, to each tree, the farmer, in accord with circumstances, forgot herself and in that way met herself. And this too was true for the plums being completely themselves, and the apples themselves, and the pears simply pears, each unobstructed, itself, herself, himself. And when you know yourself fully, you undoubtedly know that all beings everywhere possess the wisdom and virtue of the Buddha, though each must recognize that for herself or himself. When you forget yourself and are confirmed by one thing, the Venus star, an owl hoot, the sounding of a bell, the fragrance of deep purple lilacs. When you forget yourself even once, no, when you forget yourself, even one almost invisible mote of dust floating on a sunbeam opens universes untold. Imagine that, Even one single mote of dust can be the agent of your liberation. And the monk, not believing that, said, "And what about dust mote samadhi? Really? Even that? Just one piece of dust?" And Hakuin said, "Entering concentration, absorption of a single mote, one attains concentration on all motes without the one expanding, but simply staying as it is. Absorption means entering into the six fields of sense objects without being concerned with the six fields of sense objects, letting each be according to its unique Dharma position." So even that, one dust mote. But Yinmen answered differently than the wordy Hakuin. In response to the monk's question, Yinmen said, "Rice in the bowl, water in the pail." What do you make of this response? Is he evading the question? Here is what one teacher said, an old Rinzai man from Japan. He said, "The monk's question is rather abstract, and yet is perhaps doubting his abstract idea by asking the question." Yinmen simply replied, "Rice in a bowl, water in a pail." Yinmen is saying, "Zazen is just sitting in the natural state, just like rice sitting in its bowl or water sitting in its bucket. In Zazen," he says, "we sit simply in our place in the universe." So what do you make of that? Do you agree with that old Rinzai monk? I myself am not so sure this monk's question is only abstract. It reminds me of, does the dog have Buddha nature or not? That question can be seen as an abstract one, wondering about Buddhist theology, but it can also be known as a very personal question, almost intimate. The monk is wondering, even me, even I, feeling the way that I do, hungry the way that I am, yearning deep from the heart and feeling unseen, unknown, untouched. Even I have it? Does that dog over there, just like me, feeling and looking as I do, does he have it? This present monk's question seems less intimate than that, but seriously personal, showing his doubts about Buddhist theology and metaphysics, wondering, does really the one contain the many and the many one? He's put his whole life into being a monk, and down at the bottom, worrying, possibly despairing, really, does the one contain the many and the many one? Do they really interact without interacting? And his question hints at wondering about the bright moon concealing herons and the silver bowl heaped with snow. And these may be only intellectual questions, but they may be very personal from someone confused, doubting, and hesitating. But ultimately, maybe is simply maybe, and we don't know. But Yunmen stepped forward and he said what he did. And I say right now, talking to you, duckweed flowering in a wet ditch, fallen peony petals in the side garden. So I wonder, do you think my response to this dust mote samadhi question or not? I say duckweed flowering in a wet ditch, fallen peony petals in the side garden. Is my response dust mote samadhi or not? And I wonder, how would you reply to the monk's question?